From Wondery, I'm Robbie Damon, and this is Little Stories Everywhere. Each episode, we'll bring you stories for kids that spark the imagination, take you to other worlds, and bring joy. This is the second and final part of Lost on Mars.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Gaia was scared. Inside her gloves, her hands tingled. When she'd snuck into the rover this morning to prove to her parents that she was ready to go on a mission, Gaia never thought they'd get caught in a windstorm. Now her parents were unconscious, Two-Bit was broken, and she was all alone, hundreds of miles away from home base. Soon she was breathing so quickly, it felt like she wasn't getting any air inside her lungs. Her vision tunneled, and the world spun. She'd felt like this once before. Back on Earth, she'd gotten a starring role in a school play. Rehearsals had gone great, and she knew her lines perfectly. But right before they were supposed to leave for opening night, she'd panicked. All she could think about was the entire auditorium staring at her. Just like now, her breathing had gotten fast, and she'd felt like she was going to faint. Her dad sprang into action. He grabbed a paper bag from the kitchen and held it over her nose and mouth. Breathe into this, huh? Big, deep breaths. Good, good. Gaia focused on filling the bag, then emptying it. Her breathing returned to a normal pace, and her vision cleared. Her dad smiled at her. You hyperventilated. If it happens again, remember the paper bag trick. There were no paper bags in the rover, so she closed her eyes and imagined she was back on Earth in her bedroom, sitting on her favorite pink blanket her grandmother had knit for her, breathing into a paper bag. Gaia's breathing steadied, and she felt herself calming down. But before she could fully relax, an alarm inside the rover blared.
Oxygen level, critical. Oxygen level, critical. Oxygen level, critical.
Gaia's eyes flew open. The rover was losing oxygen faster than it could generate it. If she didn't find the source of the leak, the air inside the rover would soon be poisonous. Gaia whipped her head to the left, studying the window directly next to her. Her window looked intact. She turned her head to the right, to the window next to Two-Bit. It was also in one piece. Where are you, Crack? I know you're here somewhere. She spotted it. A jagged break in the upper right corner of the windshield. Gaia scrambled forward, climbing over the center console, careful to avoid stepping on her mom in the passenger seat. The rover creaked and swayed as she moved. She tossed her gloves off. Her hands tensed in the cold air. The average temperature on Mars was negative 81 degrees. The rover had a heater that brought the temperature above freezing, but not much more. Gaia gripped a long piece of duct tape off the roll clipped to her spacesuit. Please work. Please work. She pressed it over the crack. But her hands, shaking in the cold, slipped. She pushed too hard. The crack expanded, spreading out across the right side of the windshield, getting bigger and bigger. No, no, no.
Oxygen level critical. Oxygen level critical. Oxygen level critical.
Gaia moved as fast as she could, tearing more tape and gently placing it over every part of the broken glass. The alarms stopped.
Oxygen level increasing. Oxygen level increasing. Oxygen level increasing.
Gaia collapsed back, slumped against her mom's legs. With the alarms finally quiet, Gaia heard a whirring sound, like a computer trying to restart. Two-Bit! She scrambled back to the back seat. Two-Bit was attempting to restart over and over again, but he kept getting stuck. With all her strength, she pushed him onto his side so she could look at his back. Gaia gasped at what she saw. His back was busted open. Torn wires of all different colors hung out of him, their frayed metal ends glowing orange. It looked like someone had ripped his console apart. She pushed his power button off, fully shutting him down. Gaia had watched her mom repair a lot of robots over the years, so she knew just what to do. She crawled under the seat. All the supplies she had carefully packed the night before had gotten jumbled in the crash. She dug through the boxes until she found the toolkit. She pulled out a pair of needle-nose pliers and pivoted back to Two-Bit. Hang on, Two-Bit. I'm going to fix you. Gaia carefully picked up both ends of a snapped yellow wire. Using the pliers, she twisted the frayed metal threads back together. Then she ripped a small piece of duct tape and wrapped it around the meeting point. With all the wires reattached, she pushed his power button on again. Two-Bit made the same whirring sound he did before. But then the screen on his belly came to life as Two-Bit's operating system ran through its self-check. The status bar at the bottom showed how much of it was completed. Gaia watched as the percentage steadily ticked up. Suddenly, it stopped. The status bar stubbornly stuck at 82%. Gaia's stomach sank, and her eyes closed. Please wake up. Please wake up. Gaia wasn't sure how long she had kept her eyes closed, but after what felt like eons, she heard a loud chime. She opened her eyes wide. Two-Bit's screen was on, his one good eye looking right at her. His metal fist lifted toward her.
Fist bump.
Gaia grinned widely and bumped his fist. They pulled their hands back and spread their fingers wide.
Blow it up!
They held their hands to their heads like they were talking on the phone.
Talk about it!
Gaia laughed and threw her arms around him, careful not to dislodge any of his wires. I'm so glad you're awake.
What happened?
Gaia quickly filled him in on the dust storm and the crash. We need to get Mom and Dad back home so they can see Dr. Jones. But I don't know what direction to go in.
My GPS system isn't working, but I can still access the map.
He pulled up a map of Mars on his screen and centered it on the area around the Gale crater.
The data I retrieved from before the crash shows that the windstorm came from the east.
Wait a minute. If the wind came from the east, that means it pushed us to the west. She slowly scrolled the map to the west, zooming in on a large mesa jutting out of the ground. I think this is what we're pushed up against. She continued scrolling. And here's the mountain that's right behind the Habs. I recognize the peak. We need to get around this mesa and aim for that mountain. That'll get us home. Are you ready to drive?
Drive?
Yeah. I can't reach the pedals. You'll need to push them with your hands while I steer.
Gaia, are you sure about this?
There's no other way, Two-Bit.
Okay, let's do it.
Two-Bit climbed over the center console and wedged himself next to the driver's seat. He tipped onto his belly, placing his hands on the pedals.
I am in position!
Gaia scrambled to the front of the rover, perching on her dad's knees. Okay, I'm going to start the rover. When I say go, gently push the accelerator. Gaia took a deep breath and pushed the start button. The engine coughed before settling into a purr. She turned the wheel to the left, angling the rover down the cliff.
Okay, Two-Bit, go!
Two-Bit pushed down on the skinny pedal on the right. The rover groaned, but didn't move.
A little more.
Two-Bit pushed down further, but still the rover didn't move.
Something's in our way.
Gaia stood up on her dad's knees.
Sorry, Dad.
Balancing her weight on the steering wheel, she peered through the window. Just in front of the left wheel was a rock the size of an armchair.
Okay, Two-Bit. When I say go, push the gas pedal as hard as you can.
I don't like it either, but it's the only way. Ready? Gaia sat back down, squeezing the steering wheel tight. Inside her gloves, her knuckles were white.
Okay, Two-Bit. Go!
Two-Bit pushed the accelerator all the way down to the floor. The wheels of the rover spun, kicking up dirt behind them before jutting up the boulder. It teetered on the top of the rock. Gaia leaned forward.
Keep going!
Two-Bit kept the pedal down, and suddenly the rover was up and over the boulder and soaring down the hill. Gaia and Two-Bit flew into the air. Gaia's helmet knocked against the ceiling of the rover. She struggled to hold the steering wheel straight as the rover raced over the dirt, veering left and right.
Stop! Stop! We're going too fast! I can't control it!
Two-Bit took his hand off the accelerator and pushed down on the brake hard. Gaia sailed forward and slammed back as the rover skidded to a stop. Gaia sat in a stunned silence, catching her breath.
Wow-wee!
Gaia burst out in a loud, relieved laugh.
Ready to keep going?
Ready!
Two-Bit pushed down on the gas pedal, and they were on their way. Soon, they were in a groove. Gaia tapped her foot on Two-Bit's left shoulder to slow down, then on his right shoulder to speed up. She aimed the rover toward the mountain, navigating around boulders and ditches. Gaia looked at her parents. They were pale, but they were still breathing.
Don't worry, Mom and Dad. I'll get us home.
They continued peacefully for almost 4 hours, until the sun was setting and Mars's two moons became visible. On opposite sides of the sky, they were small and misshapen, like unfinished balls of clay. Gaia's stomach grumbled loudly, but she didn't want to stop and eat. They were only 2 hours from the Habs, and she didn't want to waste any more time getting her parents' medical care. A red light flashed on the dashboard. Gaia squinted her eyes at the icon. It was the battery light.
That can't be right. Two-Bit, stop.
What is it?
The battery's almost out.
It's supposed to charge all day in the sun.
I know. Something must have broken in the crash.
Gaia burst into tears. She had solved so many problems and gotten them so close. But 2 hours away by rover was still 60 miles from the Habs. Without the battery running, the rover's heater and the oxygen generator would fail.
We're going to die. And it's all my fault. Why didn't I just listen to Mom and Dad?
Suddenly, Gaia heard a moan coming from her right. She lifted her head. Her mom tossed her head from side to side, her eyes still shut.
Mom? Mom?
Her mom opened her eyes, looking around wildly before settling on Gaia.
Gaia.
She flung herself into her mom's arms.
I'm sorry for everything.
Gaia's mom wrapped her in a hug, and for a second, Gaia forgot the predicament they were in.
What happened?
Gaia told her mom everything as fast as possible.
I thought I could save us, but I couldn't. You were right. I wasn't ready to go on an expedition. I'm sorry I let you down.
Her mom shook her head.
We'll talk about all that later. Right now, I need you to go to the first aid kit, get out the smelling salts, and wave them under your father's nose. Those will wake him right up.
Gaia scrambled into the back to get the first aid kit. She'd forgotten they carried smelling salts with them. Her mom turned to Two-Bit. Two-Bit, how's your battery?
55%.
Not quite enough. Gaia climbed back up front and lifted up her dad's helmet, waving the smelling salts under his nose. Her dad's eyes flew open, and he shook his head trying to get away from the salts. Gaia smiled and hugged him. Her mom didn't even give him a chance to ask what had happened. We need your help. She launched right into their situation. Her dad nodded as he processed everything she had told him.
There's a battery in my mobile lab.
If we string that battery together with Two-Bit, that should be almost enough to power the rover. But we need a little more. They sat in silence. Then Gaia remembered something.
What about the hydraulic lift that we use if we get a flat tire? Doesn't that have a battery?
Her dad clapped his hands together excitedly.
Gaia, you're a genius.
Both her parents unbuckled their seatbelts and opened the rover doors. Two-Bit, come with us. Gaia, stay here. For once, Gaia didn't argue. She was happy to let her parents take charge. A few minutes later, they got back in the rover. Her dad started the engine. The three of them stared at the battery icon. 89% capacity. Plenty to get them home.
Yes!
Her dad navigated them to the Habs through the dusty red terrain. For the first time since the dust storm, Gaia felt safe. And her eyelids suddenly felt very heavy. The next thing Gaia knew, her spacesuit was off, and her mom was setting her down in her bunk in the Hab. We're home. Because of you. Daddy and I were wrong. You're ready to go on expeditions. You are brave and strong, and you can stay calm under pressure. Gaia smiled. Thanks, Mom. But first, you are grounded for 2 weeks.
Mom!
Gaia started to argue, but then stopped. She had broken the rules by sneaking into the rover. She'd known there would be consequences. Besides, right now, the safety of the Habs didn't feel so bad. She was still the first kid on Mars, and that would always be an adventure.
From Wondery, this is Little Stories Everywhere. This is the second and final part of Lost on Mars, written by Austin Rackless. I'm your host, Robbie Damon. Brian White is our associate producer. Audio assistance by Sergio Enriquez. This episode is sound designed by Joe Richardson. Executive producers are Janine Cornelow, Stephanie Jens, and Marshall Louis for Wondery.